maybe you've noticed the stairs, the groceries, everything that's not as easy as they used to be. And you're starting to wonder, what would it look like to get a little help? At Care.com, asking for support doesn't mean giving up independence. The right kind of help lets you stay in charge. Whether you know what kind of care you need or you're just starting to look, Care.com is here to help. You can find background-checked in-home caregivers who fit your budget, or explore senior living communities at your own pace. Read reviews, request tours, compare options. And if it all feels overwhelming, our senior care advisors, all master's-level social workers, can help you create a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And she put the timer up. And I love the timer. And I can't wait to use it.
It's big, flashing.
Yeah. Normally, I run a timer in the background. And in the Zoom chat, I give 30-minute updates. But it's like, sometimes I'm cornholing so hard, I forget what I'm doing and I lose track. And I discovered that Zoom has an app that will run a stopwatch for you. But it puts it in big, black, like, ominous square inside
it my... feels... accusatory at the person running it. Like, it has it up in the corner of the, like, Zoom screen, like, discreet for everybody to observe. But then on Leah's picture, it's also there, just being like, and if you're wondering who started this timer, it's Leah. And she's very worried about getting out of here on time. So you better watch the clock.
It would be the most passive-aggressive thing. Like, if you were in a one-on-one with your boss and you just started a clock, it would be amazing.
Really, almost any meeting you could be in to start the clock would be a power move. You should start doing it.
Well, you know what you should, okay, would be really funny and inappropriate, but if you started the clock at some point in a meeting and then just periodically restarted it until people started wondering what is causing you to restart the clock.
Like, you had your own private 0 minutes since X did Y, but, like, you just don't disclose what it
is. You don't disclose it, and people are just having to notice and figure it out on their own.
Girls, maybe I'll do that to you one of these podcasts.
Ooh. I think well, I shouldn't say that. I was about to be like, I think we'd figure out really quick, but actually we're pretty dumb, so
to say, like, in a meeting, it'd be great enrichment, but I feel like in the podcast, I'm already so enriched that it would just put me over the top, you know?
I know. It would be hazardous. We'd be vibrating. Well, how are you doing this week, girls?
Good. I think it's ridiculous that The Pit is airing new episodes on Thursday nights during our recording, because all day I've been thinking new pit, but I can't watch it till tomorrow.
I know.
And I watched the first episode of the season, but then because of my trials, I just like couldn't really, like, I'm on a strict like Midsummer Murders and now SVU skid. So, and that has to stop. I think I had to kind of like reach into myself today and be like, Allie, I don't know if we can be watching the sex crime show anymore in February. I think that we might be in February 2026. I think it might be a hard stop on any more sex crime show episodes.
It is weirdly soothing in a way, though.
It is, you know.
There's going to be justice. You know the beats they're going to hit.
Yeah, and it's like any, you know, I am a procedural girl, so it's like, I'll get into one and have it going, but SVU, more than some other procedurals, does start to kind of drag at you.
It does,
because it's really bad stuff happening on there, and as you know, I'm in season 9. I mean, I jumped to it randomly. And season 9 is...
It's bananas.
Insane. Every it's single episode, so it's crazy. Just like, oh, that's what this episode is about? Or sometimes you'll think it's about one thing, and then 15 minutes in, it'll be like a hard pivot to something that you are like, I don't know that I wanted that episode to be about that, if I'm completely honest.
There are episodes, especially in that season, where you're like, where did we start? Because it feels like a whole separate episode. Because it's like, oh, yeah, the sexomnia got totally dropped after 10 minutes. Now we're on to like a pregnancy club, you know?
Anna and I were having a little gossip about there's an episode where it's like it starts with a sexomniac situation. And then, like, quickly turns into it's a like a send up. I mean, it's not a send up. It's just a fictional version of Second Life, where like the we can't even get into it, but it is pretty iconic. League not good, kind of
iconically kind of terrible, but it reaches a level of terrible that's good in a way.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, that episode is like, you can't look away. Because if you do, you won't know what's happening anymore. Because they'll be on to another plot. The fact that, and actually, I shouldn't give any spoilers, but things happen at the end of that episode that are just wow, really? For the past 20 years? Okay. I guess. So anyway, so that's about Law & Order SVU, and I don't remember why that came up.
You have to get back to The Pit.
I have to watch The Pit. I've only watched one episode of The Pit. I've only watched one episode of The Pit, but
that's exciting though, because then you've got like what, 3-4 more episodes to watch.
I actually, after watching the first episode and not having another one to move on to, I think I was kind of like, I want to binge it. I want to binge. I want 5 hours of The Pit. I want to be in The Pit with them. You know? So
well, you have it because tonight is number 7.
Is number there already 7? Number 7? Wow. Yeah.
I only know this because I torrented all of them last Friday because I had to be in the office, and so I watched all 6 episodes. Like, I rewatched all of them Friday.
Nice.
Like, that's just what I did at my work, and it was nice.
That sounds beautiful. That
sounds really pleasant. Yeah. To be in the pit at work? That's really nice. Well, anything else to report on? We have a new motto for the year that we came up with right before recording started. Mm-hmm. Kind of came up with. Yeah. What did you say this is the year of, Ian?
So I said 2026, year of the dish, but I said it fast. Yeah. So I said, you're the dish.
And you're the dish.
You're the dish.
You're the dish.
We're going to start saying that when we need to encourage people and just be like, hey, you're the dish.
I got some real blank looks from my co-hosts, and I was like, I mean, well, I didn't think it was that stupid a thing to say, but they had both heard you're the dish and were trying to...
It was the opposite. I genuinely thought that you had said something incredibly profound, and I was too stupid to
We were trying to figure it out.
I was like, I really think I can learn from this. I have to think on it.
And it just seemed so, like, possible that you could have had a total brainwave. Just because we were talking about, I said, I've been doing a good job of doing my dishes. That's the one thing this month has going for me. I've really been doing my dishes. I don't know why. I'm actually a little suspicious about it at my own brain. I'm like, why do you keep doing the dishes so easily? What's happening with you? But so I was just like, maybe this is a commentary, but it wasn't, but now it is. You know, the McElroy brothers, I don't know if they still do it. I should check in. But every year they used to, at least, they used to come up with a slogan for the year. And they they usually rhyme. So it's like the big 20, what was it? 2015. 2015 was a good one. The con is on. But I feel like, I realized that it rhymed. 2026, you're the dish. I mean, it almost slant rhyme. Yeah. So I think everyone just think about, like, what do you think it means? 2026, you're the dish.
You're the
dish. It does kind of sound like a self-help book, doesn't it?
It
does.
It could be really good, because to be dishy is good. It could be bad, like you're on the table, you're getting eaten. You're the food. Getting eaten can be good, you know?
If you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
If you're not in the kitchen, you're on the menu. 2026, you're the dish. If you're not in the kitchen, you're on the menu.
This is how, like, if we ever wanted to, like, start a cult, every time someone would, like, ask us any practical questions, we would just say something like that, and they'd be like, oh. Yeah.
And that's all we have to say about that. Now let's get out there and play some volleyball. Woo!
Guys, should we write a self-help book, the three of us?
I thought you were just going to say, should we start a cult? But
I mean, we
same
could do
difference.
That too, yeah.
And yeah, I think we should.
I mean, isn't didn't that, we already
that's
have
the wit and wisdom of Tunnel
Talk? The wit and wisdom, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good start to the episode.
Colon, the wit and wisdom of Gentle Talk. Wait,
yes, there you go. Oh, wow. I can't. Incoming soon to a Barnes & Noble near you. We have one little bit of pod business, which is just a reminder that currently ongoing are nominations for our Seeding the Bods, Bodies, 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 March Madness tournament. I'm going to kick to Anne and Leah for a couple reminders and FAQ.
Yeah. So nominations are still open. This episode's coming out on Sunday. The nominations are going to have to close on Tuesday, so 2 days from when this episode comes out at, say, 5 p.m. Eastern, because I will have to start making PowerPoints of wrestler
pictures.
Hands-on
admin duty for this. Thank you very much, Anne.
So that gives me 48 hours, you know, before we podcast our first one for the beginning of March there. So you got a couple more days. Keep nominating them. I've been loving the nominations that have been coming in. People have been putting in really funny comments. Unfortunately, I set the form to not collect email addresses, which I just thought was polite, but it turns out that it means everything is anonymous, so I'm sorry I won't be able to credit you for your jokes, which
is
a real shame, but...
Maybe you'll have the opportunity to claim your joke, and maybe two of you will claim the same joke, and then maybe you'll fight, but then maybe you'll fall in love. But one of you is a liar. Isn't that a sexy thought?
I just love the idea of someone charging in to be like, hey, I was stolen. And it was like, oh, I'm so sorry. How will I ever make it up to you?
Wow, haven't read that one before, but I'm interested.
And you guys have been asking amazing questions in the Discord. FYI, in case you haven't glanced over it, if you cannot think of 20 bodies, that's okay. Only nominate the bodies that you care about and just made enough slots that people would feel.
That's right. You can nominate one body if there's only one body you feel passionately about. That's totally fine.
Mark Gallup is only going to nominate two bodies.
And are they the ones that we saw this week?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. He made a quite funny joke about it.
He's so true for that.
Yeah, he's so true for that. He's so good for that. Let's see. If you want us to focus on a certain specific era of a body, feel free to make that part of your argument and say, hey, I really need you to focus in on this part, this era of Kip, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can fiddle the time travel dial.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no problem.
And you can submit pictures for any, you know, bodies that you are making an argument for. And I would encourage you, most of the body pictures that we've gotten in the forum have been for the bodies that you think will feel skeptical about. So there are lower ranked bodies, unfortunately. So feel free to submit pictures for those bodies that everybody else likes too, because I'm going to have to collect a lot of pictures for these PowerPoints.
We're going to hit the streets of Tumblr hard. We're going to be out there scouting bods like crazy. I'm pretty excited. To see what's going on in some of those tags.
And I hope you assign us a couple people and you don't tell us anything else about where they're ranked. You're just like, okay, you're like, you have to do Mark Davis, Swerve, and Alex Marvez. And then our job is to go find the hottest pictures we can of our assigned men. And then we'll bring them to you. It's going to be so fun.
I do feel kind of like a horse at the start of the race, you know, because I like a little assignment to go hunt something down online. I'm just like, that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I could probably break out some of the top ones. I think might be mathematical clinches. So
let's get started. Hey, why put off till tomorrow, which you can do today. I'll
give you some tonight. Yeah.
Perfect. You're a dish, Anne. No, you're the dish. We will retweet or blue skeet. I don't know.
You have to say skeet, but it's so humiliating. You can't.
I don't think as a child. I mean, having grown up in the 90s, I'm just like, I can't do that. I know.
It's like I just want to call them tweets, but I also don't want people thinking that I'm still on Twitter. You know what I mean? It's like I'm not hanging out there full time. You know?
We will repost the links, various places that links get posted, and we'll be doing that until. The forum closes on Tuesday, February, whatever day that is.
Yeah, I think the 24th.
That sounds so right.
I'm so checked out of life that I just looked up at my calendar on the wall that is still set to November.
Oh, wow.
Let's check back in, Mama. Let's check back in.
Yike.
We got to do a... I don't know what we got to do. To be honest, it's winter, so we don't got to do anything. We just got to make it through.
Real life is for March Lemon.
Correct. Yep. Did people also ask if they could consider faces and hair? And the answer is kind of no.
You cannot. Yeah. This is a bodies-only tournament.
It is. I will say it's hard. So just do your best, you know? Yeah. And we're all trying hard together to be objective.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to consider personality either, but you know what? Last year, it happened.
It happens. Yeah. Especially once we get into talking about it, it's like there's only so much you can say about a nipple. But so other things start to enter the equation. But we try and keep them at bay. Yeah. All right. Shall we talk wrestling?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We saw Grand Slam Collision this week, and that was fun.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was going to be more consequential. Like, I had it in my head that it was, like, essentially, like, a pay-per-view. But then I saw Brian Alvarez said, this is what Battle of the Bands should have been. And I was like, I'm sorry. Did I make a point of watching Battle of the Bands? Battle of the Bands. Battle of the Belts by accident?
I was really excited. Like, I was like, Battle of the Bands? Are they doing that again? Good. Yes. Okay, yeah.
Of course, Tony can feel free to turn any episode of TV into Battle
Please,
of the Bands.
Get some bands on there. We never see any bands.
I know. And get the Mountain Goats and was it My Chemical Romance?
My Chemical Romance. It's crazy to me that we can't get My Chem. They are actively touring again and they love wrestling. We can't get them. They've hung out with Darby Allin. We can't get them.
It seems like we haven't even tried to get them.
There seems like there's a lot of easy gets. Like, John Oliver has not stopped talking about AEW. Why
he loves wrestling.
On the show?
Yeah.
I'm worried. Like, I think they need someone new doing something. I don't know exactly what the role is, but it's like, let's just get out there and scout wrestling fans.
Mm.
That also made it sound like I wanted John Oliver to perform with his band. And you know what? I do.
But I would really love it. Who did we say? Oh, it was Dustin Rhodes where I said it that he should have that Mountain Goat song that's like, that we know more after me.
Yeah. The Bible verse one.
Deuteronomy, maybe.
Oh my God. And by the way, something about what you just said just reminded me that Worcester 182 made us a vid to go along with the Bodies tournament. It was just like all AEW bodies set to Megan Thee Stallion.
So good.
Oh my God. It was so good. Dustin was in it.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Know your audience.
Thank you so much. There was kind of like Dustin's body is mine. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
Thank you for appreciating it. Yeah. There was a little Mox dance that was like perfectly timed with the music that I just like lost it about. I was just so happy.
It was so fun to watch. It was like, wow, wrestling looks like such a good time.
Amazing work. Perfect art. Did we already repost it? We'll repost it.
We'll repost it again. Definitely repost it again because it was honestly a work of art. But Tony, feel free to put that on the television.
Yeah.
My God, please.
We do need more video packages in AEW, specifically body-themed.
You know what? I feel like the only time that Tony has ever done like a music video was that, what was it? It was the November Rain video and everyone went crazy over it. And I was just like, it's really long. And it's honestly, I've seen much better music video. Like, no offense to the video itself, but I didn't want to hear that much November Rain.
Yeah.
So I would say just do some other different videos. Yeah. Like we never even saw Constantine on the TV, but let's start with Bodies. Just start with Bodies, I think.
Yeah, and we can circle back to Constantine. I mean, it's still in the mix.
Annually, we'll circle back annually, certainly on that request, I think.
Why did we bring up music?
Bodies. At My Chemical Romance.
Battle of the Bands is how we got here. It was Grand Slam Australia was not very consequential.
Grand Slam. Sure.
I feel like, you know what? You have to give it to AEW. They did a really good job of making us feel like we have no choice but to watch Grand Slam Australia. And then somewhere in the middle, we were all like, I think we could have chosen not to watch.
I know. It was really like, yeah, so this really is just an episode of Collision, huh?
You have to, I think that's a huge win for them, honestly, yeah. and they should celebrate it. That it's like, we did act like it's pay-per-viewing.
Yeah.
And in fact, Leah's vibe was like, let's get started because we're going to be here for 5 to 6 hours.
despite the fact that the three of you, Nicole and Anne, were talking at one point about the length of the file, I still was like, everybody got their snacks. Everybody did a little Red Bull to stay awake. Everybody ready. And then it was like the main event came on and I was like, what's happening right now? Don't we have another 2.5 hours?
When you were like, I kind of had it in my head, this was a pay-per-view. I was like, I did think it was kind of weird. You were so insistent we were going to watch Collision.
No, but it was, I didn't even think it was weird. I was like, we have to watch it.
Yeah.
They told us we have to watch it. I think it's a huge win for them because they often advertise stuff that I'm like, I don't need to do that. This one, it really felt like I have to. And then actually nothing really happened that I had to see.
It's incredibly successful marketing. When you think about it, we're the hardest crowd to convince that we have to watch something. And they successfully convinced us that we had to watch it.
It was they grifted hard and they won big, you know. So let's check in on the title scene. But you're gonna have to work harder next time because we are not falling for this again.
Like, I was like, we have a wrestling podcast, but getting us to watch a weekend show is like, ugh.
It used to be
Precious Weekend.
It used to be so much easier when they had Rampage on. We actually, consistently would just not make plans to watch Rampage, but just be like, who's around? Is anyone home from their plan? Should we throw on Rampage? Yeah. We would watch it pretty regularly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to do it on a Saturday is just like, you're not getting my ass.
No.
Absolutely not.
Also, really key, Rampage was 1 hour.
It was 1 hour. So it was a perfect hour.
If Collision was 1 hour, it would definitely be an easier sell if I'm home. Yeah. And with Rampage too, it was like there was 3 hours of television at that time.
Yeah,
so
Rampage was a great show. Well, anyway, enough of that. So Hangman fought Andrade at Grand Slam in Australia, show we watched, and won, making him the new number one contender for the Men's World Championship. He and Andrade were doing some crowd work. Should I put it that way?
Yeah, doing a little time flirting.
Andrade, of course, on his gimmick of flirting, his flirting gimmick.
More women every time, you know.
Yeah, but then Hangman said, if you're doing it, I'll do it. And I thought that was a charming little moment. Yeah. Hangman did win. Did I just say that? Yeah, I did. Which I don't know that we thought he would.
No, I was confused because I was like, oh, like here, Andrade's like run through Swerve and Kenny. So I thought we were just on a path where we were like, we're trying to find someone to lose to MJF, and it's going to be Andrade. And that made sense to me.
You put it that way, I'm like, oh, yes, I do track that logic very closely. Yeah.
And I also was like, oh, like, they're big pushing Andrade right now. Mm. Like, Andrade is getting special attention. Of course, he's going to win.
Special attention.
He's getting Tony's special eye.
Andrade is a new conversation piece. Of course, he's going to win.
Tony, is there a story behind this one?
boy is there, Anne. You would not believe. You know, we actually used to have this piece in the foyer a couple years ago.
Yeah, and that piece wanted to rejoin its wife, but then it got divorced, so.
And then it came back, but then it found out that it couldn't come back yet, so we had to move it to the garage for a little while, but now it's back.
The journeys that art goes on.
It's incredible.
Really makes you think. Okay. Yeah. So he won. So we'll circle back on that. And then he had a post-match promo that I didn't follow closely enough at the time, the logic of, but now I think I do. He filmed it right after that match. So it's like, he didn't know the outcome of the Brody MJF match yet. Mm-hmm. So he was just like, something like, you better hope you'd do or don't win. You know what? I don't even know why I'm trying to explain it. Something about, and then there's something about balls in there. So I wouldn't worry about it. Let's just move on.
Something about balls. It's fine.
And I'm so sorry for all of that. Just something about balls. That's all you need to know. Let's keep going. So MJF then fought Brody King in the main event of Grand Slam, and Brody sadly failed to squash him twice in a row. Mm-hmm. So MJF retained the title. Anything to say about the contents of that match?
I didn't really like it that much. I'm a Brody King enjoyer.
Yeah, I enjoyed the squash quite a bit more. Yeah. And this one, too, I feel like they, like, had mic'd the ring really intensely, but it meant I could hear, like, a lot of grunting and, like, MJF saying weird stuff, which was, like, nothing weird bad, stuff. But I just didn't like it. I don't know. He was just doing a lot of, like, yelling, and I could, like, hear everything and hear the ref, like, yelling at him and stuff. I don't know.
Was this the match with the knee bite in it?
I think it was.
I said something crazy. So I think MJF bit Brody King's knee, and I said, and this was wild to say, I said, for some reason, that bite isn't reading as either erotic or dangerous to me. And then I was like, for some reason, well, because it's neither, because it's not dangerous to get your knee bitten and it's not sexy to get your knee but for some reason.
That's a real, like, wrestling broken brain where you're like, obviously all bites are sexual, but this one for some reason isn't working for me.
Doesn't seem to be doing either of the performing either function that it could serve.
It is just weird. It's just like only toddlers do that, pretty much.
I thought it was an interesting choice. Like, I guess it's interesting to see people play with the limits of the form, but I thought, like, that's a limit. Knee bite doesn't do anything for me. But you know what? Somebody else could do it, and it could work great. So what do I know? Tony Schiavone really distracted me during this match, too, because at one point, I think he was doing an impression of MJF, being a heel and the way he does, like, heel work on the city that they're in. But then there was just a minute period where he was being like, and the beaches of Sydney are horrible. We have much better beaches than that in America. And I actually was just, like, getting up out of my seat, like, Tony, stop. I can't listen to this. Like, that's the craziest thing that you've ever said. They've got really good beaches. Much better. Much better than what we're working with. I'm sorry.
Why are you
promoting
on America right now? Don't we have enough problems?
Like, America, you actually have very little to recommend you these days, and beaches are the least of your problems, but they are not one of them things, you know. So, all right. And then...
harsh truths.
People need
a big fuck ice chant from Australia, too, which is funny since it's a different country. But
yeah.
Okay. Good for them. Thank you. Right. Thank you for your support. Sure.
Thank you for your support.
We noticed that a lot of times, like, once a whole crowd is chanting, there's kind of a limit to how much, like, accent you can read from it a lot of the times. Not so with an Australian crowd. Every single chant, you were just like, Australian.
Yeah. Especially on certain ones. I can't remember any examples.
Tony
right
Storm,
now,
I think.
Yeah. I mean, there were just a few where you were like, okay, Australia. Like, it's a bit much, but.
It's their beautiful accent, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Sometimes I do.
A beautiful,
wanna,
serious,
like,
accent.
I want to accuse them of exaggerating it for dramatic purposes, but, like, a crowd of people who have never met before can't all be exaggerating it in the same way. So you would think it's real, but at the same time, I'm calling it out.
It's don't all Australian accents kind of sound like you're faking it for mysterious reasons of your own? It's like, no one talks like that for real. It's
a beautifully mysterious country.
Yeah, and everyone says that about Australia.
I'm going to start that rumor this year. I work for the Australian Tourism Board now. It's a beautifully mysterious country.
The beaches you would not believe.
Okay, post-MJF win, Hangman stormed the ring and boisterously signed his AEW Revolution world title contract at MJF. And then he kind of fainted a punch and MJF, like, cowardly kind of, like, tried to get away, for scrambled away from it or something. And then AEW.com wrote, Paige took some time with the crowd to end our night at Grand Slam Australia, which I thought was a weirdly sensual way of putting it. Took some time with the crowd. Paige took some time with the crowd, I guess. So then Hangman and MJF had an in-ring discussion on this week's Dynamite. Let's start. How did the whole thing start off?
I hate the way you talk. I hate the way you walk.
And the way you wear your hair. I hate the way you...
Ellie and I simultaneously, like, we're like, okay, 10 things I hate about you.
Like, yeah, like, mostly I hate the way I don't hate you. Not even a little bit. Not even at all. And then once we noticed it, I just couldn't stop hearing it in Julia Stiles' voice the whole rest of the way through. I was just like, well, if you're not going to kiss in a parking lot at the end of this and he hasn't bought you a strat or whatever, then I don't know what we're doing here.
Do you think he was consciously referencing it, or is he?
No, I don't know. He's our age, so he might have been.
Like, I guess
a private little joke to himself.
A private? Well, there was nothing private about it. It was.
Yeah, but how many other wrestling podcasts would have picked up on it?
Like, oh, private between him and us.
Yeah.
That's true. Nobody else on a wrestling podcast has ever watched a film.
They're like, was the TV talking to us again, girls?
That was for us.
I did feel a little bit this week like he was pandering to us slightly in a way where I was like, he does seem to be desperately trying to get everyone to like him again, and maybe we're on the list, you know?
Well, I didn't mind it. I thought it was funny more than anything. I don't know that I found it to be, like, contributive to any broader themes, but I did think it was funny. And I liked when he said, like, are you in a bad mood because your two boyfriends are fighting? I said, like that is the kind of framing that I prefer. Like, let's say what we see. Let's be scientists. Let's be honest about what's happening. So I like that. What did you think of, I guess, like the overall arguments both men ended up making, the rhetorical and psychological approaches here?
Yeah, MJF kind of, he went in on like, kind of, Hangman, are you afraid that you're going to like blow it again, that you are going to fall apart under pressure, which to me felt like kind of an outdated view of Hangman's character. It felt like the Hangman of like 2 years ago more than anything.
But then Hangman made the same like kind of outdated thing. So it's like where he was like, we're the same person because I'm also afraid of being loved. And I was like, well, you've kind of grown past that too. So like, I don't know that anybody has a really good handle on what Hangman's ish is today.
Well, you never lose your major underlying issues. I did not think that it worked perfectly, but I was startled that that's what he said. And I was like, there's not nothing there. Like, that's not right. But there's not nothing there. Like, to be like, we are both extremely, like, defensive. We are both coming from a place of defensiveness that manifests differently. That's not wrong.
Yeah. It's like, they're both definitely, like, giving it the old college try, which I appreciate. I think MJF is so down in the dumps with me that it was like, if someone else had been doing it, I probably would have been a little more charitable towards it. And I didn't like, again, because I'm like mad at MJF still, is like Hangman being like, oh, I see you and me, like, you're just like me in the way almost no one else is kind of thing. And it was like, well, they're both insecure for sure, but it manifests so differently, and some of it is like how they like portray the character, where it's like Hangman is much more three-dimensional as a character and MJF is much more cartoony, but it's also like MJF, like Hangman was insecure that he wasn't like as good as his friends, whereas MJF doesn't have friends, you know. MJF wants to have like minions and people to stand near more, like he almost made one friend one time, whereas Hangman's always much more like embedded in a social environment, you know.
But, so but made almost, one friend one time should be one of those chyrons, you know.
That would be fun. Yeah,
but don't you think also like Hangman is often in a social environment against his will, you know what I mean? Like especially the last couple of years, like he didn't want to be part of the Dark Order circle, but he was forcibly, you know, like.
But he does connect with people, whereas MJF does. Doesn't.
Yeah. Know? And so I think the interesting kernel to me is that they have some of the same issues, but Hangman's aware of it and in his better moments works on it and tries to fight against it. Whereas MJF is like, and that's what's going on. And there's no way to change it, and I just lean in. So I get something in the execution.
They are different flavors of I want love, but I will bite. But MJF, as you say, has never dealt with that enough to really get any love. That's rough, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like MJF is more like the kind of insecure that like a narcissist is, where it's like they don't really want like an equal friend. They want kind of to appear like they have friends, whereas Hangman, I think, like, wants intimacy but self-sabotages, you know?
Yeah. I don't actually think they're the same. Obviously, I don't think they're the same character.
No,
but
I think
it is the kind of thing that it's like, it does kind of make sense for Hangman as a character, very self-loathing, even after much growth, you know, that's an underlying thing, to look at someone like MJF and be like, I'm just like this piece of shit because of some of these similarities. So maybe there's a couple layers there. I don't know. I'm not saying it was, I thought it was fine. I thought the whole thing was fine. It like felt like we are running it back kind of quickly. Cause when was the last time that they faced off? They did do a really good job that time. November.
I think it was almost a year ago when they did it well, but then they did it again.
Oh God, you're right.
More recently. Like, I feel like it was like March-ish.
Worried about my grasp on the passage of time.
No,
right,
but
now.
Then they like ran it back in the fall and it was not okay, good the second time. So
I think this was better than the second time.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if we're going to be able to make any. Oh, so yeah, we didn't even get to the part of this with the stipulation. Okay, yeah. So then they got into this kind of convoluted thing where Hangman was basically like, I don't want to do a normal match with you. I want to do a Texas Death Match. And I mean, didn't say Texas. Maybe he kind of did. I don't know. He basically was like, I want to do a special match like I like to do. And MJF was like fucking shit am I getting tricked by that? Like, I'm going to do a normal ass match with you because I'm not trying to get strangled.
I did love the way he said it. Like, I thought it was so funny. He was like, hell am I doing anything other than going into that ring and having a really normal bot between the ropes match. Really normal.
Really normal. The normalest kind that you've ever seen. Which it did was a perfect response because it was like, yeah, Hangman, I would never agree to have a Texas Death Match with you.
MJF's like, Hangman, we are only having a vanilla missionary style match.
In fact, let's come up with a safe word now. We're not going to do anything that would require it, but let's make sure that we have one on the board.
Just to be clear, the word no is a safe word, and also pineapple, okay? If I say either of those, we're done.
Back up safe word. You're so right. And Hangman was kind of like, yeah, well, I guess that kind of makes sense. Okay, if you will do a special match for me, and I was kind of like, I guess you have to do this to get to doing the special match. But the logic of all of it was kind of like, oh, I don't know about this. But he was like, I'll do something for you, and we can have a stipulation. So yeah, and then he was like, if we do a special stipulation match that you choose, but presumably a match that I'll like, I guess.
I'll give you a list of 10 stipulations and you can choose one. Yeah, I don't know.
And then I lose the match, then I'll never challenge for the world title again. And MJF was like, well, I do like the sound of that. So I guess I will kick the football. Unless, I don't know. So we immediately were just like, what is going on here? And like everybody else on the internet, we're like, Cody Stip? I didn't know we were doing those. I didn't
want to go into the
Codyverse.
I know. And it was crazy because, like, again, like going into all of this, I was sure they were looking for someone to lose to MJF. And now after the Will Ospreay, the Owen last year, I'm like, okay, I have to accept the evidence of my eyes and Hangman winning is on the table as a possibility, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And confusing. Because mm-hmm. the other thing in the whole run of this, and it's like, you know, we should stop doing it, but should we? I don't know. I'm still going to bring it up. It's like, we're getting our Ospreay promos being like, can I come back? Will I come back? Will I be the best ever? Am I the best ever? Can you not wait to see me again? Am I the sweetest boy in the world? It's just like, you're a great golden retriever. I can't wait for you to come back. But it's like, Will Ospreay is going to be, if he's coming back and he's good, he's going to be fighting at Wembley, I have to assume. We're on the, you know, it's like the stretch of the entire year towards Wembley, I guess. I don't know when that is. But it's like, who's going to be holding the belt? And Will Ospreay, are you going to be challenging for that belt? Who's going to have that belt? Who's going to have that belt at Wembley?
And it is like, does Will Ospreay, would he prefer Hangman? It's like, who wouldn't, you know?
Fight.
I don't know. I mean, there is a possibility that Hangman wants to do some kind of story where he, like, I assume he won't stick to the stip if he does lose, you know, that it'll be some kind of, like, going back on his word thing, which is, like, it could be interesting. I mean.
Yeah. I guess maybe that plays into some murder husband's talk we could get to. But let's quick check in. So we don't know. Hey, FYI, guys, we don't know what's going to happen. So. In case you're wondering, Hangman is still ostensibly in a trio.
It is so funny how he won the trio's belts with Jesspeed and immediately stopped speaking to them.
It's like so It's really good for me that the trio's belts just become an accessory for somebody near the title scene, and they just get mentioned every now and then. Like, Mox held them while he was champ, or like the Death Riders held them while he was champ, and then Samoa Joe held them around the time that he was champ. And then Hangman has him, and it's just sort of like, now are they like, they just go with it, like they're just like minion belts.
I love that. I love that Tony's purchase. Like, at my company, if you get the men's world championship, you actually get a bonus belt as well that you get to share with two of your best friends. And Hangman said, I don't have any fucking friends.
I don't do that, actually, so I'll just pick him and him.
He said they're the company promotion assigned friends. Like, it's like, if you looked around and were like, I have to assign some friends, it is going to be Jet Speed, you know?
It's going to be the principal when the new kid comes to school. It's like, Jet Speed, show him around, you know?
Oh, yeah. Jet Speed is like the welcome committee that meets you at the principal's office and is like, oh, my God, you're going to love this school.
Yeah. Now, like, as you say that, I'm like, and yet I haven't seen them, like, walk up to Tommaso Ciampa and say, like, can I see your schedule? Do you have any classes together? I'd love to show you where your locker is.
Oh, she's a great teacher. You're going to love World Civ with Ms. S.
That's an idea.
And you know, Speedball, that's an idea for your vlog.
Oh my gosh, yes. Let's do some behind the scenes content there. Well, they are going to have a trios fight. I don't actually know that we have to get into the ricochet of all this. Does anyone want to say anything about Ricochet? Anyone enlighten me about the timeline of the Ricochet Jungle Boy feud?
I only had included it in the schedule because, like, the demand had like three segments this week, and so I felt bad putting all of it in the grab bag. And you had asked in the middle of the Dynamite, you were like, now when are they going to fight Jungle Boy? And I was like, oh, it happened. I watched it. When did I watch it?
I realized that it had happened. I thought that last week on Dynamite, I saw Ricochet be like, Jack Perry, when I get my hands on you, you're going to wish you'd never been born. And then this week, he was like, thank God I got my hands on Jack Perry, and we took care of that. And I was like, wait a second, but I watched the only show between these. For once, I watched. So I was kind of like, did I miss it on Grand Slam Australia? Or did it happen at House Show Brisbane or whatever?
House Show Brisbane. That's what they call it.
That's what they call it, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't figured it out. And so if anybody wants to explain it.
He did promo on Jungle Boy last week, but I don't remember what he said. But I think, I don't know.
But he really implied, like, thank goodness we took care of that problem. And then he got back to his dressing room and was like, a knife in my door. What a funny joke. And it was like, well, I don't know. I'm confused.
I loved that commentary had to, like, really hammer it to make sure people got the reference. And they were like, a knife? Jungle Jack Perry makes knives.
Have you guys watched his Instagram?
He's an artisanal knife maker. Ever heard of him? Really famous on the Ren Faire circuit. All right, let's move on. Swerve and Kenny main evented this week's Dynamite with their first ever time in singles action against each other. Yes, Excalibur. Both men, I've said here, were looking very big bodied. They just did. I mean, I know that they do. Swerve does have a big body, and Kenny has the body that he has. But when I saw them against each other, I was like, it's almost too big, both of them. It's almost too big to work.
They do when they're, for some reason, this entire feud, I'm just like, they're larger than normal men, both spiritually and physically.
Yeah. Like, their vibe was like, there's not room in the ring.
Yeah.
For these two bucks, young bucks, there's not room in the ring for these bodies.
Things that no one has ever said about the young bucks themselves.
So these are big, the big bucks. That's a fun, if they were a tag team, that would be so fun if we had the big bucks and the young bucks. Free ideas. Okay. Anyway, this was a great match. It was so good that Anne became a man in the middle of it.
Apparently I was like, why isn't this things? A pay-per-view match?
Tony should be charging money for this. It's insane that this is just an overrun of Dynamite.
You've written money on
it's
the table.
Good wrestling.
Did you see the news story today that was like, the reason why it wasn't on a pay-per-view is because Kenny's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He booked a video game thing like a year ago and didn't realize it was during pay-per-view.
So funny. I love that for him, honestly. I like that. Yeah. Kenny's like, I do what I can, but I'm not, you know, I'm not paying
the news
that much
keeps
attention.
Me like, he's trying to get out of it. Like, is he? Like,
okay, I know. I'm maybe. Like, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure.
No, Tony, I'm busy.
Oh, Tony, I wish that I didn't have to go to Japan, but I don't know. I'm just assuming he gets to go to Japan, which is what he loves.
It's a pretty good assumption.
Pretty good bet, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it was really good wrestling. A lot of it, Kenny was really insistent on, like, he was like, let's do penetration. Like, he, like, went to Source dressing room. He was like, I got an idea for the match. Should we do full penetration? And I'd like a really, really long spot of it. So, like, maybe on the apron when, like, we're just, like, tight up against each other's bodies for, I would say, like, as long as 5 minutes. And I would like it to be kind of a grinding thing. Because I'm trying to get you, I'm trying to launch you over my head, but we're just stuck in this position for as many as 5 to 10 minutes, I would say, grinding together.
That, and Swerve, I mean, said, literally
no,
sounds
no
like
problem.
Something Kenny Omega would pitch. Like, what if we just rubbed up against each other for, and it'll be, we'll be doing, trying to do moves, but it'll mostly be the rubbing for a long time.
We're rubbing because we're trying to get to the move. You see what I'm, do you follow? And Swerve's just like, yeah,
seen the vision.
I definitely follow. Like, I know you, so I do follow. So I liked that move. I liked the whole thing. You guys enjoy it? You have fun?
Yeah.
Well, plot relevant stuff. In the middle of the match, Swerve duplicitously tugged referee Aubrey into the path of a V-trigger. Kenny V-triggered her. And then he said, you know what? I am probably going to be out for a little while. It's the impression I'm getting, me, Allie. Should I just try to get the mommy's little hand before I go? Should I just see if I could get it this week? You can have it, yes.
It was intense hamming.
You earned it. Like, it's just like, what? My knee? Who? Her? No. How could this happen? He was hamming so much that my eye had kind of missed the moment of what Swerve had done. So I was just like, now did Kenny do that on purpose? Like, I had a moment of real confusion before I mentally ran it back and was like, I see what happened here. Okay. That was, so Swerve had done that. I call that a little bit of an own goal because then he did manage to successfully pin Kenny, but there was no ref. So I don't know what the plan was.
And then he hammed it up pretty big time with some,
yeah,
some
he did.
Big eyes. Yeah. And it is funny how, like, sometimes security runs right out or a ref runs right out. And then sometimes they're like, well, we'll just be here for 10 minutes with no ref, I guess. Like, just, you know.
As we've said before, they have a flow chart back there. The flow chart does not make sense. People are checking the flow chart, like, such. So
it takes a little bit of time to read.
It says nobody should run out. And it's like, they're just being like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, it's what it says on the flow chart. That's the process.
Paul Turner's, like, at the ramp being like, but guys, I can run right out there. Like, we don't have a ramp. And they're like, I don't know, the flow chart. Should we check the original of the flow chart? Like,
people have been scheduling a meeting a week about this for the past 3 years, being like, we have to revisit the flow chart. But they just never, the committee just never seems to get any momentum. That's on corporate life. And some of you are thinking, yeah, I've been there. Yeah. This is CIA sabotage.
Every time they get in the meeting, someone's like, should we go back to the beginning? Like,
yeah.
Is this the right flowchart software for us? And they're still stuck on that decision, you know?
I want to talk philosophically about why we are using the mode of flowchart. What is a flowchart? What is a decision? What is action?
Maybe we should make a subcommittee to talk about.
Oh no, I'm having, ooh, I don't like it. Okay. So eventually Paul Turner came out, Swerve did manage to win. So he pinned Kenny, huge. And then he was so excited and angry that then he started beating Kenny up some more.
Like a lot, like a lot. Like, I was pretty surprised he won after he had gotten the pin that wasn't counted. Cause usually that's the like, oh, you like won, but then you're going to lose kind of thing. But it was like, no, he won two times.
I mean, I'm not complaining, but a lot of it didn't make sense because it's also like, well, now why do you have to beat up Kenny? You did win. You did win. And
it was like winning had unlocked kind of like it was like a Jekyll Hyde trigger. And suddenly it was like, should I be so fucking bad?
He's had a lot of pent-up aggression at Kenny ever since Hangman smiled real big at Kenny. Yes. He doesn't know why, but he really had to do it. And he had to do it in a specifically Hangman-coded way.
Mm-hmm, because what did he do?
He got out the chain. He got out the special chain.
Wedding ring chain.
Yeah, from Hangman, and then he hung Kenny from it.
Yeah.
Just like Hangman.
And then what did he do that was so funny? He went out to the commentary table, and he said, I just hung Kenny Omega, so I'm a really bad guy. What do you think I could do that would be just as bad?
I could knock some stuff off your table, no problem. Take that, Excalibur.
It was such big cat behavior. I said, okay, saber-tooth tiger. Just a big paw just swiping stuff off the desk. And then it's like you just ate a man's head. So we all know that you're on bad behavior, okay? I don't know that this is
You could have, knocked the monitors off and then strangled Kenny Omega, you know? And escalation. That would have been an escalation. Yeah, instead of being like, well, I'm starting to calm down, so.
Ultimately, I liked this more. I did find it really charming and funny. Yeah. And then he slammed Kenny on the steel steps.
And then he slammed him on the announcer table there was just like a can of Diet Coke right in the middle. And he bashed Kenny right into the Diet Coke can, which I loved.
Waste of good Diet Coke.
Yeah. While Brian Danielson was standing there like, you made your point. Looking so upset. It's delightful.
Stop. He's already dead. Yeah. So I don't know. What did you guys think? What was your takeaway about Swerve's psychology, his character right now, storylines going forward? Anything you got?
I feel like maybe it's just because we miss the time we miss, but it's like I don't know why Swerve did any of this except jealousy of Hangman potentially. But that's my own cloud story, you know. So it's like obviously he's heel turning, perhaps because he doesn't want to fight MJF. But I don't know. In kayfabe, what's up with him?
I don't know. Is it just that he's so mad about losing in the four-way and then losing to Andrade, and he's just like...
And your face right now. Right. Mad about losing.
Tell me more. Do you wrestling men get... I wouldn't have thought of that.
Mad about... Leah, can you say it again? What was your thought? Mad about losing?
I know that... Makes sense. And Andrade cheated, you know, big time. And now he's not in the title scene. And...
Well, I guess Swerve tried to do the right thing, right? He tried to do the right thing and, warn Kenny about...
Oh, yeah. He was trying to help Kenny last time with the screwdriver and stuff.
And then Kenny wouldn't listen, of course, to an explanation. Him. And they never got a chance to talk at all, except for that conversation they had about the grinding. So... So I guess maybe Swerve is like doing good deeds doesn't pay. It just gets your ex-boyfriend mad at you for no fucking reason. So let's be bad.
Yeah. And all that pent-out aggression, it has to come out at someone. And honestly, Kenny Omega, I understand it being the person.
He's a satisfying target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know his gutties are delicate, so you know you can do some damage.
And you know you'll get Hangman's attention, so that's bonus.
That is a good point. Although, I'm like, do you? What actually really guarantees you Hangman's attention these days?
It's true, just breaking into his house. I mean, you have to go that far.
You might have to escalate again. I did think, it's like, this is why I said it earlier, the Hangman having this weird stip and being like, oh, is he going to... Like, that can't possibly happen, but, if he lost and it happened, then he would turn heel. So I guess you could do it as a heel turn thing that you then, walk back in some way later. And so it's like, if he's heel turning and Swerve's heel turning, I'm like, well, then why wouldn't you have them be a tag team and they wear those chains out every time they do something is what I'm wondering.
And then they, murder people together and then they kiss real nasty on top of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then they fall off a cliff about it. The classic story.
That's tale as old as time, yeah.
So that was my only thought, but again, I don't know what's going to happen.
Honestly, everything in AEW, in kind of an exhilarating way lately, I'm like, I don't know where any of this is going.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And Kenny, I guess, I have to assume, I mean, I don't, are we going to see him on TV next week? He really got beaten up so much.
Yeah.
You have to assume he's getting ridden off. The Bucks came out afterwards, I guess, to like, you know, tenderly kneel over his body and be like, oh, Kenneth, you're always getting yourself in these little scrapes.
They're like, Kenny, you come back to work for 1 week and then you always get beat up so bad.
Kenny's like, I don't know how it happened.
Oh my God, Kenny, I can't believe this happened before your big trip to Japan.
I saw someone say that Nick was wearing a t-shirt with the picture of Sabrina Carpenter wearing the Young Bucks t-shirt, but I actually couldn't. I probably had to go do something else. So I like didn't see the part where you could actually see the t-shirt, but the idea that he was wearing it was so exhilarating to me that I was like, I was really pleased. And I was like, you know what? Actually, I do wish I owned that t-shirt. I actually do want that t-shirt. Yeah. So that made me happy. Speaking of the Young Bucks, they are, well, they had an in-ring segment, kind of. You know what? Let's start with the other guys involved. So FTR came out for a segment on Dynamite this week with Stokely Hathaway in his wheelchair. And they cut a promo, mostly Stokely Hathaway, that I can't remember a lot of the content of. I think they all were kind of like, Private Party, do you remember that the Young Bucks literally drove you out of this company last year? Which isn't true. Actually, now I'm kind of reprocessing that. I'm like, that's not right because they won the belts off of that. Well, they were like, they were really mean to you last year, but now you're not even mad at them. It's so unfair. Nobody's ever mad enough at the Young Bucks.
It is the gist. Very funny to be like, why do they keep getting away with this?
It's just like, because look at their little faces. Look at their little faces.
They just put those tassels on and everyone forgives them.
It's just like, oh, you're so silly, sweet boys. Who cares what you did last year? So Stokely Hathaway is saying, that's the fakeness I hate about AEW and the fakeness I hate about professional wrestling. If people knew the amount of hatred that FTR and I have for our coworkers, they would be overwhelmed. It's really funny.
It's like, sing it, brother.
I know, girl, I bet. I would not survive in the environment. And then he got on this whole thing where he's like just going on about the Young Bucks families, I think. And he was, I think, was just kind of killing time rhetorically as the Young Bucks crept up behind him, took out Dax and Cash, and then knocked him out of his wheelchair. On all their glorious tassels, the most, it has to be more tassels than they used to wear. I mean, it's many tassels.
And they kind of look like thicker almost. Like, I was like, the material of these tassels is substantial. I love
it. Hefty.
Yeah.
If you got smacked with one of these tassels, you'd be feeling it the next day. Bodied with a tassel, as it were. Mm. It says Nick grabbed the mic and said they are officially the number one contenders for the AEW World Tag Team Championships, and they will challenge FTR Revolution. Leah, do you want to debut these new nicknames?
Okay. Right before this segment, or no, actually somehow during this segment. Oh, yeah. They did this very funny thing where they were like, now introducing FTR, but we're going to cut to commercial, but we'll be back. And so when they cut to commercial, I got a commercial, and I ended up getting it three more times that
three
day.
More oh my
three
God.
More times for wow. man panty liners. And and I don't want to make fun of anybody who has incontinence issue, because, hey, I'm getting older. Sometimes I...
Are you concerned about what HBO Max thinks you're... I was listening to last week's pod, by the way, and when you said that, my iPad was like, you don't have Landslide in your Apple Music. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Lorb, just before this recording, was like, I was listening to the pod and Allie set off my iPod.
Oh, no. I don't think that should be happening. I don't like that world.
Crazy.
Anyway, so this man panty lighter commercial, the guy was just like, and you'll never have to worry about drips and drabbles. And
drips and dribbles. Drips and dribbles. But I like that you're not even sure what it's.
Who knows what's going on in this?
Anyway.
So we came back to the promo and we're still discussing the commercial. And I was like, should I start calling them Drip and Dribble?
Drip and Dribble.
FTR, to clarify.
Yeah. Imagine being like, should we call the Young Bucks Drip and Drill? That would be a heel turn from us. That would be it such would be. A huge heel turn.
Yeah. Come out of nowhere. Just really.
Oh my gosh. And I was like, you have to. Yeah. Of course, they're called Drip and Dribble now, obviously.
Which one's which?
Oh, I Dax think is Dax drip. Is drip. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Because of the multiple meanings of the word. Mm. Yeah, so they're Drip and Dribble, and they're going to fight the Young Bucks at Revolution. At Revolution.
Yeah.
You know, I like there's only two types of people in the world. There's people who, like us, are like, the Young Bucks and FTR are never not fighting. And then there's people who want you to go to cage match and look at their matches and be like, actually, they're often not fighting. And we're right. We're actually right.
Just like three pay-per-views a year, Bucks FDR match. It's fine.
And then, of course, now I'm just like, and I guess Cope and Christian will come back during that. I guess the Bucks will have to lie down for Drip and Dribble, and then Cope and Christian will come back during that.
The joy to me about Chris, I've now come around the other side where I think Chris and Christian are... Is that their name? No, Cope and Christian.
But please call them Chris and Christian now. That's so funny. It's so funny. Chris and Christian.
Cope and Christian have now become comedy icons to me because they always threaten to come out, but they never do.
Yeah. It's amazing. Sometimes the best thing you can do for your reputation is just not be around and have people like us just like making things up about you. Mm-hmm. I guess the best thing you can do for your reputation in our eyes is just let us make things up about you, is what I'm saying.
Give us room to miss you and make up cloud stories.
And be like, we have an idea of who you are that has nothing to do with anything that you've done. But so now it's just like, down with Drip and Dribble. Chris and Christian, get back in here.
Chris and Christian, we love your bit of not being on screen.
Oh my gosh. Well, anything else to say about any of that?
Are we ever going to find out where Chris Jericho is going? Speaking of not being on screen.
I don't know. I had an amazing time this week where the beginning of the week they were like, guys, he's not actually off contract yet. He's still under contract. Anything could happen. And then, like, I think like yesterday they were like, yeah, but he is going to go to WWE at some point though. And I'm like,
I thought his contract was up.
Apparently, as of this week, they are now saying that they think Tony might have froze it for some reason, so he might have a couple more weeks, but nobody knows for sure, because nobody will talk.
Mm. Why would... I don't know... Actually, I don't know why I was about to pretend that I have any insight into this, but I was about to confidently be like, well, why would Tony want to get closer to WrestleMania before letting Christian go? Has nothing to do with, but he might drive ticket sales. So it's like, I think you should let him go as soon as possible because you want to keep him away from the ticket sales.
Unless you can hold on to him.
Yeah.
If you can hold on to him past WrestleMania.
Exactly.
I don't know what it means that he froze his contract. Like, has Christian Jericho had any injury time? He's never been out injured.
I think he gets Fozzie time.
Fozzie time? It's written into his contract. We can extend you for Fozzie time.
You can have as much Fozzie time as you like, but it may be tacked on at the end of your contract. Watch, that's what the truth is. Lawyers, call us. We'd love to know. If Chris Jericho's being punished for his Fozzie time. Interesting. I heard that WrestleMania is not selling good. Just kidding. I don't want to talk about that. I don't know anything. Okay.
The funniest thing about producing for Trish and Sarah is that, like, I was so checked out of everything AEW during our break, but was weirdly really on top of all ticket sales and everything happening in New Japan because I had to produce for them. So it was like, I have a weird, like, slanted knowledge. I mean, not that I retain anything. I mean, don't quiz me on anything that I've heard.
Knowledge of many things.
Yeah.
Leah, do you think that All In might outsell WrestleMania?
Yeah, what are the chances?
I don't know. That one doesn't have an episode yet. Can you ask me about it?
Said I can't crib off of homework that hasn't been written, girls. Yeah. We'll check in on that later.
Tanahashi's retirement sold really good though.
Did it sell amazing?
Oh yeah.
That's really good.
WrestleMania and All In won't touch it. That's what I heard.
I love that. You know what? I love that. She said repeatedly. Anyway, let's move on. y'all done here? OC and Toni Storm got all dolled up. Oh, that was a fun way I was going to write it. But then this is what AW.com said about them. This is at Grand Slam Australia. Ever heard of it? Collision. Storm and Cassidy came out in matching denim, a beautiful compromise of their typical ring gear. Their wedding vows?
A beautiful compromise.
A beautiful compromise of their typical ring gear. Yuta had made a wig out of Mina's hair that he cut off the other week. So that's some fun arts and crafts. I love when I see that somebody's done a little arts and crafts.
I know. We should have gotten like a clip of him like putting it together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would love some a little behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. If they had done a package, and it's the only package in Grand Slam, and it's just a package of Wheeler Yuta doing arts and crafts.
Gluing hair. Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Toni ended up pinning Yuta for the win, as we suspected would occur. I mean, we suspected that Yuta would get pinned, but I like that Toni did it. And then we got a long hair shaving segment, and I thought, this is entertainment. This is what Mama comes here for, is just to watch a man get badly shaved with lots of cheerful celebrating for as many as 10 to 15 minutes.
While his antagonist passed the razor around, Marina was holding his hand tightly. He tried to run out of the ring, and Mox had to make him get back in there.
I love that Mox was like, you get back in there. Hey, you made your bed, now lie in it.
I have to read these tweets. I think people really popped off with these. Poisonous Pixie said, let's be bald with Papa, with a little picture of Yuta, like, appealing to Mox, being like, how could you let them do this to me, Father? And then Bloody Cages said, he actually went out there and said, you want to explain to me and Uncle Claudio what's so bad about being bald? Which was the funniest framing I've ever heard. I can't stop thinking of it. You want to explain to me and Uncle Claudio what's so bad about being bald? And I love that. I love that his original biological father, Orange Cassidy, was there cheerfully shaving his head.
Oh, and he was happy. He was so happy to do it.
He did look so thrilled.
He was hamming it up pretty good too, like just in case cheerful to the back rows.
Presumably very happy that it wasn't his hair, which Ian, you called the damsel in distress of the match.
Yeah, commentary kept talking about Orange Cassidy's beautiful head of hair and what a shame it would be for anything to happen to it. It was like, I mean, which is right. It's like, but it's funny when there's two women in the ring too, except that, you know, every moment that a 40-year-old man has with his hair is precious.
I know. It was... What I will say is that of the four people in that ring, there was one person who couldn't afford to lose his hair.
Yep.
And absolutely. That is our son, Orange Cassidy. It's like,
he looked the worst.
And he knew it. He knew it. He said, I can't be growing that back out. I can't be doing that. This is pivotal to my whole deal. And it really was, you know what? I think somebody put it in our Discord, but I also just was thinking about it on my own. It was like, oh, you're just getting his head shaved. And remember that one time Dustin got his head shaved and actually he did look like this. Like they looked the same. And I saw it. That's the genetics. That's the genetics popping out. Mama and son. So, you know, misty watercolored memories. Anyway, I put that question in a weird place, not in the right place at all. Okay. Then on Dynamite, we had a backstage segment where Renee was like, Orange Cassidy, remember how Roddy like abandoned you mid-match last week? And you guys are like supposed to have a match tonight, but it seems like he's like not here. What are you going to do about that? And OC was like, the great thing about the conglomeration is that there's so many of us. And then Ishii came out and he and OC teamed up to fight the bad boys, Gabe and Clark. And they won, and Ishii got to pin Clark Connors.
That was crazy. That was
such a promotion.
That was thrilling.
That's a real, like, you know, you might be bottom of the totem pole, you're a New Japan guy, but when a new Japan guy comes over, moved up a slot.
All right. Suddenly you don't have to take the pin every time. You even get to give the pin, to be the pinner. You might get to pin. He did get to pin partly thanks to some timely intervention from Darby Allin and his skateboard in the crowd. This happened last week, right? Is it happening every week? What I'm wondering, and I know you guys can't answer this for me, not to malign you ahead of time, but I know you can explain this. Let's be really honest.
Let's be real. My stupid girls.
Girls, I know you don't have a lick of insight into this, but what's going on that Darby is not fighting any matches right now, but he does keep being in the crowd, dragging a man out into the crowd?
What level of question.
Is he like kind of injured? Is he kind of injured, but like Tony can't send him home because he's like, he'll hurt himself worse. So I have to give him some light work to do here where he probably won't hurt himself worse. What's going
on? It's like a person with a concussion. It's like, I can't let Darby go to sleep. Like, he's got to stay here under our eyes.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. He got dragged around in that body bag too. So it's like, how hurt could he be? But
I don't know.
You were right. We don't have a lick of insight.
Maybe he just enjoys popping out in the crowd because it's always like you don't see it coming and then just all of a sudden he's there and he snatches someone.
It is true that Darby Allin's favorite thing is, you didn't know I was in here.
Remember when he was like behind the bleachers and kind of like popped up, like, but it was very confusing because you weren't sure where they were and there was like a black cloth behind him and I was like, what is happening? Anyway.
I like it's that what memories. We've gotten to is just his favorite game is hide and seek. He's just playing his favorite game, hide and seek. Mm-hmm. And is that a crime? No.
Many would
let him know. Play. Let him play.
Let kids play.
Leah said something kind of mean to me in the middle of this match.
Yeah.
You don't remember?
I did say that. Well... Anne, did you say, is anybody sexually attracted to Gabe or something? And I was like, I had the thought several times that I wonder if Allie is attracted to his fish belly, pale stomach.
Which was so, honestly, humiliating to read. But I read it and I thought, I guess I better take the question seriously. To be clear, she asked, because often when I talk about the attractive qualities of Kyle O'Reilly, I'll be like, his beautiful pale fish belly stomach. But I was pleased when I very earnestly examined my heart. I looked inside myself again. I was pleased to find out, like, no, it's not fish belly pale stomachs in general. It's just on Kyle.
Just Kyle's beautiful
just
specific.
Just Kyle's whole deal.
Fish body.
Gabe Kidd is not doing it. I'm really proud to say publicly on this podcast, Gabe Kidd does not do it for me. For now.
I will say Gabe Kidd has been nominated for a best bod. He's probably not going to make the cutoff, but someone put him in there, and Clark Connors has not been nominated. So
wow.
Thank God.
Well, I do think Clark Connors, although, and I know you don't want to hear it, Leah, because you loathe him for some reason. Even though he is, to me, just like really straightforwardly attractive, it is a middle-of-the-road attractiveness that it's like, if you're going to nominate a Clark Connors, you would nominate 10 other men instead.
Mm. Yeah, I can see
body-wise.
He's replacement level hot, yeah.
And that felt cruel to say. I'm sorry, Clark, but Leah, you probably enjoyed that.
I did like it. Yeah,
it's good that we got. It's good that we were a little mean
I like
to him
that
this week.
He's Timu several people. It wasn't just that you were like, he's Timu Hangman. It's like there's like several people he could stand in for.
You'd nominate 10 people ahead of him for sure if you were into that kind of thing.
It's not like you're going on Pinterest like, I want this specific dress from Anthropology, so I'm going to look for dresses like that dress. It's like, I want an Anthropology dress for cheaper. So I'm looking for any dress that looks like it could be from Anthropology.
I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Perfect. All right. Well, so that's all the time that we have to be mean to Clark Connors, and we'll just move on. Do you want to say anything about Roddy? I have no clue what's going on with that man.
No.
Not at all. It's very like, oh, is his storyline progressing or is he
confusing.
He needed to go to Disney World.
I think a bunch of people were like, I think he's going to join the Death Riders, but it's like, well, Mox is face turning, so.
Well, Roddy isn't.
What is Roddy?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Roddy, you could see him like weaseling. Like, it wouldn't exactly be a heel turn for him to join another faction necessarily.
Yeah,
not that they ever do it that way, but.
Yeah, him and the Death Riders. It's interesting. It doesn't feel right.
I did just think it does make sense given everything about wrestling, but you really don't usually see someone like a backstage segment where someone's like, listen, I just don't think this is working out. Can I just level with you?
No hard feelings.
I do not see this as a good fit. I will be leaving the group.
I really think the Death Riders is more my personality, but I've loved conglomerating with you guys, you know, these last few weeks. And
I'd love to see a conscious uncoupling.
And it's like, from a dramatic standpoint, you can understand why it's not what's happening, but it would be so funny for it to just happen a couple times.
It'd be so funny if someone came up and consciously uncoupled, where they're like, I just don't think it's a good fit. Like, no hard feelings. The Death Riders, really, they, you know, I just...
I like their vibe.
Yeah, but, and so they're like, no, like, Roddy's no hard feelings, but if the conglomeration is like desperately hurt, like their feelings are so hurt, and then they're furious at Roddy for breaking up with them, even though he did it amicably, you know, like they're like, how dare he? And then they like keep trying to attack him. And he's like, guys, I said like no hard feelings.
Yeah.
That would be a lot better.
That would be funny.
That'd be a lot better.
Free idea. One of our classic free ideas. Speaking of the Death Riders, Mox and Takeshita fought at Grand Slam, and that was fine. Yeah. It was it ended with a time limit draw. Afterwards, Mox got up in Takeshita's face, and Takeshita did his big finisher on him. And I thought that was fine.
I think, I don't know if it was just speculation or whether someone had it for real, but that was a little bit of an audible, because like the crowd got so mad about the time limit draw that like Mox was like, hey, do your finisher on me. See if it makes me feel better.
I also saw that speculation and wasn't clear if it was based on anything or I don't know.
I love it, though.
It was fun. It's
fun. Yeah.
And then
Takeshita did do a little back scratchy on Mox.
He did.
It wasn't as sexual as you would like it to be, but
no.
He tried.
We got to get points for trying.
Yeah. You've got to get points for trying. And also it's like, was it a Mox level back scratchy? No. But was it biting a knee? Also no. So it's like good to... Those two things.
There's two extremes on the sexiness scale. It's Mox back scratch, knee bite, and there's a lot of room in between.
So much room to play in there. And then this week on Dynamite, Mox fought Mark Davis, and that was actually like crazy sexy. Like that match, I didn't have any expectations really.
No.
It blew them out of the water.
It felt like Mox woke something up in Mark Davis.
It was crazy. Yeah, because again, I didn't expect anything of it. I was like, this is nothing. And then I was riveted the whole time.
Yeah.
I was like, these are two like people in their animal forms in here. And they're very different animals, but it is very like their brains are off and they're just letting their bodies do the talking.
It's just a wolf and a bear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A slinky little big cat, a panther and a bear. And a big dog. I don't know. Yeah.
It's like, Leah, you said it's like Mox like woke something up in Mark Davis. It's like he woke Mark Davis, a bear, up from his winter nap. Mark Davis was like, what the fuck? I'm supposed to be sleeping. He was mad. And he looked good.
He looked good.
He looked really good. Mm-hmm. Something, I think he's like shaggier than he used to be.
Yeah.
He looks good.
He came back as the Bash Brothers looking more disheveled, and I was really into it.
Mwah. Maybe Kyle was making him do too much manscaping, you know?
Influence. Old hairless Kyle was just
hairless
like,
Kyle Fletcher.
Can't you be neat and hairless like me?
It's like, you're not supposed to have hair anywhere because you can't grow it.
Kyle Fletcher's just always telling people, like, the thing about me and Mark is we can't grow hair. And Mark Davis is just, like, to himself, just being like, I can't.
It's like, it actually takes so much work to be hairless for me. Poor Kyle Fletcher's listening to this podcast, like, why am I catching this specific stray all the time now?
Because we made up a story about you that makes us like you more than we would otherwise. Please keep track of that. You should be so lucky. Any wrestler who has us saying these things, you should be so lucky as to have us saying these things about you, okay? This is how we form a bond with you. By calling you hairless Kyle Fletcher and saying that you repeatedly told Mark Davis that your gimmick was that neither of you could grow hair.
Mark Davis is like, you know, I was sad to have our tag team breakup, but like, thank God.
The money I'm saving on there.
He's like, now I can go out in my natural hairy state. Feels good. You know what? It looks good too. What else can you say about that? Yeah, great match. Had a really, really good time. Later, Death Riders had a backstage segment where they challenged the DCF to a match on Collision, and Mox was like, I'm not done with Takeshita. I'm going to fight him at Revolution. So that's all good. The DCF responded later in the night. Were they attacking someone? Lance Archer was just in the back of the shot holding a man upside down for most of the
jobbers.
I think the thing is that they are attacking jobbers now, which is like
in the maybe background.
Like they're just men trying to do their job.
They were in the most echoey like backstage area and they were all screaming. I was like, I cannot understand what you were saying in this promo, guys. This is the worst sound design yet.
Well, you know what? Now you know how Don Callis feels when he has to drive the whole bus full of them to Disneyland. Or Disney World. Whichever one is wherever they are. Probably either. Probably both. I don't know where
they're
going.
It depends on where the show is, Allie. It depends on where the show is. They were on the West Coast.
That every time they fly into a new city, the Don Callis family boys are in the back of Googling what theme parks are closest. Yeah. And
they're like heading to a Six Flags. Yeah.
Don Callis with a throbbing headache driving the van is just like, would anyone like to go to an art museum? Would anybody like to get some culture this week? And they're just screaming like, ice cream, roller coasters.
They pull up at the park and he's like, only one ice cream each, one. It's hard to regulate.
Oh my gosh. I don't know what we're talking about. Okay, they're doing this. They're it's mayhem back there because they're in the van on their way to Disneyland or Disney World, depending on where they are. And Okada showed up after a minute. Don Callis was being like, yeah, we'll fight you. That's no problem. Okada showed up and was like, hi, guys, it's me. I'm coming to work because I love to work, unlike some people, because Takeshita wasn't there because he was in Australia celebrating with Kyle. Okada was like, I actually love to work, and I love my friend Kyle, and I bet he's not doing anything without me. Something like that. And Andrade was there, and he was wearing, like, these little fuck-ass sunglasses and kind of, like, a short skirt long jacket look. I mean, it wasn't a short skirt, but, like, didn't you imagine it was?
Yeah, it did have that vibe.
Yeah.
And I had the whole thing. It was just like, what's happening over there? I love it. I personally love it.
Andrade tweeted today and was like, did you know that Okada and I fought each other before when he was 17 and I was 18? And then I forget, like, he did like a winky smiley face and like the vibe was like, bet you wish you could have been there. And I was like, what is your vibe lately, Andrade? He's so funny.
Just really just riding a just post-divorce like
It's like just saying you were 17 and 18 is like sounds filthy somehow.
Well, yeah, it's like yeah. You shouldn't bring that up.
Is that okay?
Oh my gosh. I just said that we could talk in here. I don't think we need a full segment on the Briscoe Fletcher ladder match. Does anyone have anything they want to say about it, first of all? It happened.
I like to watch ladder matches because the men do feats of insane body
strength and agility.
Where was that sentence going?
Strength, agility, and near death.
But I don't think it's really something that, like, I feel like the only thing you can really do is recount moves, which is like not what we're here for.
And we can't. We literally can't. We're not here for it because we can't do it. They fell off the ladders. They jumped off the ladders. There were moments where you thought, will they ever get up again? But they did get up again, which is good. And Kyle won. And the only thing I want to say about it is that, and it's not about the ladder match, and actually I don't remember if Don Callis said this about Fletcher or Andrade, but about one of them, he was basically like, the populace of Sydney is so disrupted by his presence that I've had to stash him away at a, quote, unique out-of-the-way hotel. What does that mean?
What does any of that mean?
What do you mean? I've had to stash him away at a unique out-of-the-way hotel. Sounds like it's like I had to take him to Alcatraz. Like, it's like you put him in a prison. You put him in a grandmother's basement. You're keeping him in a cave. Like,
it's definitely a euphemism, but for what?
People were swooning too hard, so I had to put him in a cave. What do you mean?
Does Sydney have an amusement park that they could have gone to?
Oh, my God. I have no idea. But probably. There's got to be one around there somewhere.
It's a big city. There's,
yeah. There's got to be one within. Should we look that up? No, I won't. Hey, boss, should we just go off the rails here? Let's not. But there's a lot to do in the city.
Oh, sure.
There's a lot of museums that I'm sure Don Callis wanted to visit.
He wanted to get them to that Sydney Opera House, but they heard opera. No.
I wonder if any of the wrestlers, the one thing that I sometimes have been like, should I do this? And then I haven't done it, is climb the Sydney Harbor Bridge. I wonder if the wrestlers did that. Because you go, you just pay and you go up. Anyway,
sure they went to Shake Shack.
I think there was a picture of Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, like cruising around Sydney Harbor in a boat, which I liked. Oh,
that's nice.
That's so cute.
Unless I'm misremembering, but I thought that was really sweet. I think they're really sweet.
I love love. Yeah.
I love love. All right. No. If we have any bigger picture thoughts, no. Vetoed. All right. And then a quick check-in on the women. Babes of Wrath fought Mega Bad at Grand Slam and won, which was fine but not surprising. And it was a totally fine match, but not – it didn't thrill me. I will say that. Like, it was fine. It was fine. And then Willow defended the TBS title in a four-way versus Marina Shafir, Megan Bain, and Mina Shirakawa on Dynamite this week. And that was – I thought was more fun in some ways – match. But also Willow did retain, so it's like also no surprises there. So, you know. And that was all fine.
It was all fine. I didn't think that the title was gonna change hands, and there wasn't a lot to the match. It was fine. It was like I had no complaints. I'm not mad at anybody right now, but they're just not really giving you anything to get worked up about right now.
Yeah. And of course we could become mad at any moment. So everyone live in fear of that. But This was all fine. But I agree. It was, you were kind of like, I don't think anything really like astonishing is going to happen here. And it didn't. But the matches were good. The Brawling Birds had their first ever match together on Dynamite versus some jobbers. Mm-hmm. And my main comment about this was, I love that, like, sometimes people will become a tag team, especially like the men, really, because it's mostly been men forming tag teams. They'll form a tag team and it'll take them a while to be like, should our gear look like it goes together? Mm-hmm. I like that Jamie Hayter and Alex Windsor were like, day one, obviously the gear should look like it goes together, you fucking moron.
They're taking this so seriously.
Yeah, they're like, we need a name, we need matching gear, like, we are a team now. They're in the clubhouse, they are brainstorming.
And I just imagine the behind the scenes of like someone in a little notebook being like, okay, points of order. Like, we've got to choose a name. We got to figure out what our gear is going to look like. It's going to look like a little like Union Jack. That'll be fun. Like,
I'd say women, they organize things better in general, you know?
Yeah. They love organizing. Mm. Okay. Anything else to say about that? We'll see them again. We'll see them again. Thunder Rosa and Chris Statlander had a backstage segment together. It was hard. I'll see what you guys think. Chris is not currently cleared to fight. And Statlander said she doesn't want to wrestle. She wants to fight as long as Tekla isn't too scared to hide from her. So she was like, let's take it to the streets, I guess, kind of. But I can't because I'm not cleared. And Thunder Rosa has just been re-cleared. She's been out since All In. And she also wants to go after Tekla. And Stat was like, well, I would just say, like, you know, be careful, because she's like a toxic spider. So so be careful and good luck with your things. And then Thunder Rosa was like, I don't need luck because I actually am, like, doing the best I've ever been and looking the best I've ever been. So I'll see you out there, Tekla. And I think that did all kind of technically make sense. But the whole way through, I was just like, why are you both here? Both doing here?
I know. I, like, had kind of forgotten Thunder Rosa was a person and that she still went here. Because it's like, it has been since All In, but, like, she was out for so long before that.
She was out for a long time. Was she in the women's battle royale, or was she in something else in All In? No, my girls don't know.
She
I don't know why I asked
the battle royale. She didn't have... She must have been in that. Yeah, surely.
I shouldn't have asked. I'm sorry. We don't know.
I thought the vibe was, like, so funny, where it was like, Renee and Chris were like standing there, like ready to do their interview, and Thunder Rosa like was like, "Hey, you don't mind if I join you in this? I'll just join you in this. I'll just join really quick." And like both Renee and Chris were like, "Oh, well, all right, okay, that's fine."
Now, as you say that, that would be a funny gimmick for someone to start doing. It is to just feel like they're always like popping in and being like, "You don't mind if I join this interview, do you?" While everybody else is like, "Kind of. You don't have anything to do with this."
And Thunder Rosa was kind of acting like she's still kind of top of the card, but it's like, you haven't been for like a long time. But that would also be a funny part of the gimmick to be like, "I'm here, the biggest name in the women's division," and everyone's just kind of like,
"Like if she was like, hey, I'll join you. That way we'll get a lot of YouTube views."
Don't worry, I'll bring your numbers up.
Well, very quickly, it becomes a heel gimmick. You know what? Totally fine. It's all, you know, it's fine. It was funny. It was kind of funny. It was kind of weird. I was like, I kind of feel like maybe I'm missing something, but it was fine. It was good. Was it good? It was okay. It was normal.
It was one of those, it was so weird, it was hard to tell if it was good or not. Like, I don't think it was exactly bad, but it was confusing.
I would say in general, to the women's division right now, let's start causing trouble. Let's start stealing each other's wives.
Yeah.
Does someone want to become the Don Callis / Mrs. Hannigan of the women's division and start accumulating a very large faction?
I would love that.
Something like that. It's like, let's get something cooking. I need a little something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need a little something.
Real bad. Yeah.
Final topic of the night. And I'm sure it was the first topic on most podcasts this week. The incomparable Hook had a pre-tape promo where he was sitting down. He was like, "As you know, I'm the head of the ops." And my first order of business, I of course sent Shibata back to his home country of Japan, because he's the head of international recruiting. We're recruiting. Yeah. He's the head of international recruiting, and I'm the head of domestic recruiting.
Did he say something where it's like, "You might have noticed there aren't that many ops left"? It's kind of how he started, but don't worry. We have a head of international recruiting and a head of domestic recruiting, and that is the entire ops. So
somebody is cribbing off of our homework. Yeah.
It did feel like a direct response, kind of. And he went so hard on comedy. I loved every second of this.
Is it fair to say he went so hard on comedy? It was so funny. On purpose, question mark?
I mean, of course we don't know. Probably not.
The whole promo sounded like something we dreamed up as a joke and like that we created to make fun of him. But he said it on his own.
He said it on his own. I've sent Shibata back to his home country of Japan.
Yeah, it was like in case we didn't know where he was from.
It was a little exposition, like it's like, in case you missed it, and it's just like, it's not really relevant at all, actually.
And his cadence was definitely that he was reading off of like placards and he was like, "You may have realized there's not a lot of ops left."
Someone's throwing a line. Okay, next card, throw that away. Next card.
Yep.
Hook's
yep.
just like and then what did he say at the end?
What, I don't know if it was at the end, but he was also being like, "And I know a lot about recruiting because I got recruited to every Division I school." And I was sort of like,
lacrosse team in the country.
Hook, I feel like you're in your mid-20s, so maybe that whole Division I lacrosse thing needs to be put to bed a little more.
He's singing Bruce Springsteen Glory Days, you know? He's like, "I won't be putting anything to bed anytime soon." I don't know what Hook wanted us to take from this. And I don't know what it says about me or any of us that it was exactly what I needed from him to be like, "All right, I'll let this play out. Actually, I will let this play out because this is insane.
I'll be getting into the next installment." Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see who they recruit, like, pretty badly. And I'd love to watch Hook try to recruit someone domestically.
Yeah.
I'm going to need some clips of Hook approaching potential incels.
Yeah. And again, in a domestic context.
It is. And it's like so funny to imagine that Samoa Joe like left and was like, Hook, you're in charge. Shibata, you're actually in charge. And Shibata was like, oh no, I don't want to be. As soon as Samoa Joe left, he was just like, it's all you, Hook. I'm actually going home. Hook's like, whoa, hold up. I was just thinking, should I give you a job or something? Should I put you in charge of something? And it's like, do they have money? Like, you know, it's like, how are they recruiting? Like, what's the...
Hook's looking around as Shibata's telling him he's going back to his home country of Japan, which is probably how he phrased it to Hook, because he's not sure that Hook knows. And so Hook's looking around like, I'm in charge of the ops, but I'm the only one here now.
Okay. That's very funny. It's like basically Hook was just like, well, I want to be in charge of someone.
We got to recruit. Shibata's like, yeah, definitely.
Oh my God. Well, I will be, as you said, eagerly tuning into the next segment. I can't wait to see what he's getting up to. He's not good at his job. He's not good.
He's not good at it. Yeah.
Yay, heart. Was there anything you wanted to talk about that you did not get a chance to talk about?
No, it was a pretty fun week, actually. So
I know
stuff happening.
I actually, when I was making the schedule, I thought like we could cruise through this in 40 minutes, but we didn't. They always come out.
The podcast is the same the length it is.
Same length every week. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it all goes next week. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Krorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. We will post the link a lot of different places, but if you want to vote in our Seeding the Bodies March Madness tournament, now is the time. You have until Tuesday, February 24th, maybe. So go ahead and do that. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty. And as always, please come back next week.
Calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.